So this week the Seder begins Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim. Yaakov sends messengers, angels. Rashi says Malochim Mamish. So why does he have to send angels? Why can't he send normal people, messengers to his brother Esav? So Rashi says, he gives them a message. This is what I want you to tell my brother. Lovon garti va'echad ota. I was with my brother, with my uncle Lovon, and I've been there till now. V'yilishoy v'chamoyer. I've got oxen and asses. Tzoyim ve'eved v'shivche. I've got sheep and cattle and slaves and maidservants. And now I'm sending a message. So Rashi has two pshatim, you know. One of them, Shev Chamor, I have an ox and an ass, you know, the blessings that my father blessed me, Yitzhak, it never came true. Saying to his brother Esav, you don't have to hate me for the blessings. They didn't come true. Right, we're so many years later. It's more than 20 years later. And if Isaac is going to bless me, that I'm going to have this beautiful land, and you know, I'm going to have the mitala shemayim, mishmane ha'oretz, from the dew of heaven and the fat of the land, it didn't come true. I'm still a nomad. And then Rashi has another pshat. Rishoyev chamor, tarek me'ai, stayed with Lavan, and I kept all the mitzvahs. I didn't become a rosha like him, and I have a shoyer. This is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Chamor is Mashiach ben David. I'm not afraid of you. I've got all the Haganah I need, and you can go jump in the lake. So these two are really Tarta Desasra. You know, these are two Pshotim that contradict one another. And usually you find in the Medrash, you know, if you've got differences of opinion, Dova Acher, another opinion, it's not min akotze el akotze. It's not from one extreme to the other extreme. So the Noizdesha, the son of the Ishbitza, says that this is the reason that Yaakov has to send angels and not human beings. Because the message is bifurcated, and it's paradoxical, and it's confrontational at the same time that he's trying to, you know, suck up to Esav. He's also in his face. And where do we find that? We find that on Rosh Hashanah. And this is why the Medrash Tanchuma says, Vayishlach Yaakov, Yaakov sends, Hashem nosan koiloi lifnei cheloi, and God puts his voice out in front of his army. This is Rosh Hashanah, that Yisrael, that the Bnei Yisrael, that the Yidden blow the shofar. And the Medrash makes a connection between Vayishlach Yaakov and Rosh Hashanah. And the thing about the shofar is, this is the malochim that we send out. On the one hand, you know, we wake up the Satan with the koil of the shofar. We wake him up. On the other hand, we say we're not afraid. On the other hand, we're terrified. It's Rosh Hashanah. Who can hear the shofar blowing and not tremble at the thought of the Midas Hadin and all the judgment that's awakened up in the world, and that, you know, we're all standing there naked in front of the judge, and everything that we've done is being seen and looked at under a microscope, and who can say, Zakisi Libi, my heart is pure? I don't, you know, on the other hand, we blow the shofar with such confidence that God is our judge and that we have nothing to worry about. And so how does it come that we have these Tarta Desasra, these two opposing ideas in together? And this is why the Medrash makes a connection between Yishlach Yaakov. He's in Rosh Hashanah. Yaakov is awakening the idea of Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, everything that we have today, all the mitzvahs, the Tariag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, they are really Gishon, they're really physically ideas that our ancestors, the way they worshiped God and the way they lived their lives, from those ideas come the mitzvahs, beheshtalshel, is like in a chain. And so, you know, Yaakov, last week, vayifotzeles hamakleis, he strips the sticks, you know, and he makes like rings of bark and white and black and white, and you know, and the Zohar Kodesh says this is tefillin. So Yaakov doesn't wear tefillin. He strips the bark, and he puts it there for the sheep to get all het up when they come and drink water. What's that got to do with tefillin? What's this got to do with Rosh Hashanah? The point is, if we look at the way Yaakov is leading his life now, and we look at our lives and the shape of our bodies and the shape of our year and the shape of our soul, there's a connection. And if we see what Yaakov does here with Esav, we can learn a lot. Again, the Medrash Rabbah says, Vayishlach Yaakov, God says to Yaakov, Hoylech ledarka, your brother's going on his own way, and why are you sending for him? The Medrash gives a moshel, an example of a person who is walking on the road and lying there in the road in the precious drachim, right in the crossroads, right? There's a little green grassy knoll there in the middle of the crossroads, and who's lying asleep? Archilistim, right? The arch ganef, the biggest robber in the whole kingdom, he's having a nap there. And he's, you know, okay, he was waiting for the next person to walk along the road so he could mug him, right, and steal him and rob him and kill him. In the meantime, he fell asleep. So this guy, he's coming down the road, he sees this arch ganef lying there on the grass asleep. He wakes him up, he says, oh, don't fall asleep here, this is a dangerous place to go to sleep, right? So the guy wakes up, he says, what? And he gets up and he bonks him on the head, and he steals his money. And the guy says, wait, I was just doing you a favor. I was waking up. You know, this is a bad place. There are robbers around here. You shouldn't sleep here. And the ganav says, I was asleep. You woke me up. So the Medrash says that this is a little bit like what's happening with Yaakov and Esav. You know, he's there. Chepanished, leave him alone. He's forgot about you already. It's 25 years later, laws him up. Oh, but it's Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, you can't avoid what's going on. You have to meet it face on. On the other hand, yeah, you're terrified. On the other hand, you're not afraid. This is Yaakov. So when Yaakov, that night, he struggles with the angel, and he sends the doiron, he sends the gift. This is Yom Kippur. And the gift that Yaakov sends, the mincha that he sends to Esav, this is the equivalent of the so'ir la'azazel, the scapegoat that we send to the devil. And what really the message, if you take, I mean, there's so much Kabbalah around the So'ir la'azazel and what it means. V'nosa olav, v'nosa asoyer es avoynos b'nei Yisrael eretz gezeiro, that this goat carries on it, that we make this confession, the high priest makes a confession, he puts his hands on the head of the goat, and he presses his hands down, and he makes a confession on the part of all the Jewish people, and he said, "We send this le'eretz gezeira to a wild wilderness, and it carries our sins." A lot is said about what the meaning of this is. In short, what it means is that, you know, if somebody knows that they have no hope, when a rat is cornered and it feels that it's going to be killed, then a rat will even attack a human being. and nothing to lose. So long as it has a hole to run into, it will run away. But as soon as the rat feels cornered, it will attack. It doesn't matter how big the creature is that it feels threatened by, it will attack because it's got nothing to lose. The Satan, the Yetzirah, is also that way. If it feels it has nothing to lose, it attacks. So on Yom Kippur, really, one of the things that we do on Yom Kippur is we try and make believe, at least, the Satan should believe it has purpose, a room, it has a place in Kedusha, it has something holy. And Yaakov, when he was sending the Mincha le'Esav, he was really, in a sense, saying, Esav, you have something holy in you, and you're a worthwhile person, and I believe in you, and here, I want to support, I want to be toimech, I want to cheer along, I want to be mechazek, I want to strengthen that part of you which is holy. The emes is, Esav has nothing which is holy, he has nothing that I want, and the Satan doesn't have anything that I want, and the Yitzhara doesn't have anything that I want. But if they know that, then they will attack me in the way that the desperate, the cornered rat will attack. And so the meaning of the So'il Azazel is that once a year we bribe. It's a bribe. And the bribe says to the evil, you have a place in the world. You have a place in me. You have a place in holiness, whatever it is. And it's enough, because whatever the ego or the self, the denial, the mishigas of evil is that it will believe it. It's not a great deep thinker. Evil is not prone to self-analysis. It will grasp its straws. And the emesis, we don't want Esav to attack us knowing the truth, which is that he has no place, nicht in der Welt, nicht in jener Welt, not in this world, not in the other world, that Bilam Moves lo netzach, that death is going to be swallowed for all eternity. Right? So, if evil knew, would internalize that message, then it would attack, because it would have nothing to lose. It would just, there would be a ferocity and a savagery in its attack that there isn't. And so that's one of the bechinas, that's one of the meanings of Yom Kippur. So, Vayishlach Yaakov is Rosh Hashanah. Vayeovik ish imoy, and the struggle of Yaakov and the angel is Yom Kippur. Venosa, and then Yaakov, Vayiso, how does it say? Yova Yaakov Shalom Ishchem, Vayakov Nosa Sukhoisa. And Yaakov, when he's finished with Esav, Vayoshe Vayemahu Esav Ledarki Seira, Esav turns around and he goes back on to his land of Seir, and Yaakov journeys to Sukhois and he builds houses for his cattle himself, and he calls that place Sukhois. Sukhois, is what happens after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is we go out into the world. There's something that we are doing, opening ourselves to the world. Hagam, the minhag by the Rebbes, the custom by the Rebbes, was not to invite the goyim into the sukkah. However, the sukkah is the revelation of the Eden in the world among the goyim. And so we have the 70 sacrifices that we make on Yom Tov for the world. One of the things I want to look at here in this week's Sedra is this idea of us and the world. There's a Medrash there's a medrash, you know, sometimes you come across a medrash, it makes such a deep impression. This one I came across on Shabbos, and really I've been laughing for a few days now, just going back to this medrash. You know, sometimes a medrash will give you a glimpse of a lost world. And it wasn't, you know, the Medrash Rabbah wasn't all written in one time. It's, you know, over many generations. Sometimes a little vignette of a world. So this one takes us to Tveria, Tiberias, in the 3rd century, around the year 260, see. So the world of the Tanaim, the Mishnah, is closed. It's been written. Rabbeinu HaKodesh has passed away. And now we're in the second generation of the Amoraim. And in Tveria, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are writing the Talmud Yerushalmi. And in Babylon, the first and second generation of Amoraim are working on their Pirush on the Mishnah. So the Medrash opens up, Vateitze Dina bas Lea. And Dina, the daughter of Lea, went out. And this is the story of when Yaakov, after he comes to Sukkos and he builds his Sukkos, the next pasuk is Vayova Yaakov Shalom Ir Shechem. And Yaakov arrives whole in Shechem, in the land of Canaan, when he comes from Padan Aram, and Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir, and one translation is that he camps there in front of the city, but the other translation is Vayichan, that it finds chen. And of course, what finds chen is that, you know, there's a young man there called Shechem, and he is determined only to marry into the family of Yaakov. He's been waiting all his life, and he refuses to marry any of the Canaanite, Chittite, Amorite. He's not interested in any of those girls. He's waiting for Bas Yaakov, and out comes Dina, and he falls in love with Dina, and so on. Vateitze Dina Basle. So there was a Kabbalah, it must be a very ancient Medrash, that says, Hine kol amoy shelo laich yimsho lema ki'ima bito. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says that one day people will make fun of you, and they will say, like daughter, like mother, like daughter. And in that capital, in that chapter of Yecheskel, he talks about how we are children of Canaan, and we are, our father is the Amorite, and our mother is the Hittite, and we act just like them. And so Yecheskel was, it's a very angry chapter where he talks about how, you know, how our mother, you know, misbehaved, and we misbehaved, and all the things that we've done wrong. And so in there, Yecheskel talks about the moshel, how we'll become synonymous with the saying of like mother, like daughter. So there was a medrash, an ancient medrash, that says Vateitze Dina bas Lea, and the daughter of Dina, the daughter of Lea. Why is she not called daughter of Yaakov? She goes out, and there's a medrash, a Kabbalah, that like mother, like daughter, that Yecheskel, when he was saying, and one day they'll say like mother, like daughter, it was referring to Dina and Lea. So there was in Tveria, in Tiberias, there was a darshan. His name was Yossi Mo'oino'o. And maybe there was a little village near there called Oino'o, or maybe there was a shul called the Shul of Oino'o, whatever. That was his post. He was the magid of Oino'o. So Yossi Mo'oino'o tegem b'knishten de Mo'oino'o. He was there. He was giving a drosha there in the Beis HaMedrash. And he said, he quotes a verse from the prophet Hosea. Shimo zois hakoyanim. Listen this, you priests. V'hakshivu beis Yisrael. And pay attention, the house of Israel. U'beis hamelech hazinu. And lend me an ear, the house of the king. So obviously there's three expressions of listening and three different classes here. You've got the koyanim, you've got the beis Yisrael, and you've got the beis hamelech. So Yossi, the preacher, he says, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litlis HaKoyanim, God is one day going to take all the priests, all the Koyanim, Lahamidam Bidin, and he's going to stick them up in front of the magistrate, in front of the court, in the dock, going to put them in the dock. And he's going to say to them, Lama lo yigatim b'toyre, why didn't you learn Torah like I told you? That was your job, to learn Torah and to teach it. Didn't I set aside all those tithes and the gifts that to the Kohen, the Truma, and then the Challah, and the Chozev Shoik, and all those things that people shechted, if you slaughtered an animal, then you had to give the breast and the cheeks to the shoulder to the Kohen and so forth. You were taken care of. Why? What's your excuse for not learning Torah? So the Koyanim, Vi'inun Amrin, they'll answer, Le Yahavin Lon Klum, the Yidden, they didn't give us any gifts. Nobody paid us anything. We didn't get a salary. We didn't have time to learn. We had to go find our own living. So then God will call V'hakshivu Beis Yisrael. So then God's going to say, hey, Yidden, what's going on? Lama lo yisim noisnim la Koyanim chav dalet matonis. Why didn't you give those 24 gifts to the Koyanim? I told you in the Torah to give it. The Inun Amrim, so the Yidden are going to say, Al Ilan Debe Nesir, the Havanosvin Kula. We couldn't give it to the Kohanim because the house of the king, the government, those parasites on the back of the people, the working class work, and then you've got those ruling class, they come and they took everything, and we couldn't give it to the Kohanim. Sorry, we couldn't give it to the Kohanim because the house of the Nosi. Lefikach. Oh, so we couldn't give it, so then God calls the Beis HaMelech. Hazino ki lechem ha-mishpat. God says, oh, I'm going to do judgment with the house of the king. Shelechem ha-yo, was it yours? This was for the Kohanim, these gifts, it was theirs to take care of so that they could live and learn Torah. So the judgment is going to fall on you, the house of the king or the house of the Nosi, the prince. So guess what? Shoma Rabbi V'cho'as. So Rabbi, in this case, it doesn't mean Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi, it means Rabbi Yehuda Nesio, who was a grandson of Rabbi who wrote the Mishnah, but he was also from that house of Rabban Gamliel, the princely house that traces its lineage back to King David. He heard this drash. Somebody told him, did you hear what they said in the Beis HaMedrash of Yossi Maino? He got very angry, very angry. Again, just imagine. So basically, there's this political message, you know. Why are we paying our taxes here? We should be supporting the Yidden who learned Torah, never mind giving the money to the house of the Nosi and so forth. That's the problem with everything. It's those people up there. So the Medrash says, "Bepesi Ramsho that evening, Salik Rish Lokish." So Rish Lokish realized that he's got a situation. So that evening, he went to the Rebbe's house. Shol Bishleim, and he's asking them, "How are you doing?" Shol Bishleim, the Rebbe, "Upaisa Aloi de Yosim Oida," and he tries to make a little joke about Yosim Oida, and like he wants to. He wants to pull the sting and calm down this situation, and something has to happen, otherwise it's going to be not good. So Amale, this is what Rish Lakish says to Rabbi, who's the Nosi, right? Who's the prince. Tzrichim anu l'hachzik toy v'la'akim. You know, we really have to give thanks to the Goyim, to the pagans. Shehem machnisin mumsin l'boti tiatras. You know, they have all those masks, those mumsin, the mimes and the clowns, and so in their lebote teatrois, in their theaters, lebote kukesois, and in their circuses, shelahen umesachkim, they entertain people. If there was no entertainment in theaters and circuses, people would fight. You know how it is. Like this, they go and they cheer up, and the mimes and the clowns, they make fun of, you know, people, and they make fun of the leaders and the governments and so on. And yeah, it keeps the lid on the pressure. So Yossi Ma'ainoa Oma Mila Doi Raisa. So here you've got Yossi Ma'ainoa who says Advar Torah Vaif Kadiz Aloy, and you're getting bent out of shape, Rebbe. You know, he's also, you know, in a sense, Rish Lakish is trying to say, you've got to give people's political expression also a little bit of room, and you know, you got to treat this rabbi as a little bit of he's a clown, and as a, you know, he's a joker, it's comedy, it's not tragedy. So he thought by doing that he could take the sting out. So Rabbi says to him, V'yodeyahu b'divri Torah klum, does he know anything of the Torah? Is he a Talmud Chacham? Amalei hin. So Rish Lakish says, well, actually, yeah, he is. Amalei v'ulpan kobil. So Rabbi says, did he actually learn this stuff or did he make it up? This is a Kabbalah that he got, that this pshat in the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Amalei hin. So Rish Lakish says, as a matter of fact, yeah. Oh, Omalei, so Rabbi says to Rish Lakish, Vishalina Lei Megayv, if I ask him a question, you think he'll be able to answer me? Omalei, he said, yeah, he will. Omalei, in Cain, Yasik Locha, in that case, let him come here. So Rabbi invites Rabbi Yossi Ma'ainoa to come and say Dvar Torah. Omalei, when he comes, he says to him, he asks him, Kalamoshe Lolayech Yimshel Lei Mekaima Kibita. Rabbi confronts him with this pasuk, and he says to him, what's the pshat? That people will say like mother, like daughter. Omalei, he says, kebas kein ima. Not only does it mean daughters are like a mother, but it also means that the mother is like the daughter, like mother, like daughter. Kedar kein nosi. If you've got a generation, you've got a prince. I mean, if you look at the generation, you can tell who the prince is. Kimizbeach, Kain Koyanov. If you look at the altar, you can tell who the priests are, right? Hocha Amru Lefum Ganze Ginnena. If you look at the garden, you can tell who the gardener is. I mean, let's face it, if the garden is full of perfume, if you've got roses and orchids, the gardener is a gentleman, a nobleman. If the garden is full of peas and carrots, then the gardener is probably a peasant. So this is Yossi Ma'ainoa going on at Rebbe. Omalei Rish Lakish, you can see it, Rish Lakish, wait a minute. Ad kedoin lechasilis min mefai, so wait a minute, up to now, I haven't even finished yet calming him down. Al hado, on what you said yesterday, v'at maiseliya oire ach ochri, and you're bringing me some more rubbish to pile on this thing, you're going to set the place on fire. Anyway, he managed to calm things down, and Rebbe says, Ikro shel dovo, tell me what it really means when it says, Kala moishel, that whoever talks about mother and daughter is going to say, Omalei, turta anisha, leis turta anisha ad brata biita, that a mother, until the daughter, like if you've got an ox, a cow that is goring, until the young one, the calf, starts to become a gorer, then you know for sure that the mother was also a bad-tempered ox. And leis itse zanya ad debrase zanya. And no mother will go and do something bad unless the daughter's also going to do something bad. And until, so there's a connection. Omalei. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Yossi, Leah imenu zoinahoise. So what are you telling me now? That Leah, that the Torah tells us, Vateitse Dina bas Leah, that Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out. And you're telling me that this ancient medrash that makes a connection, like mother, like daughter, is saying that Leah was a go outer. She was a zoin. She was a prostitute. Omar Lehem, so Yossi says to the Rebbe and Rish Lakish, yeah, the Torah tells us in last week's Sedra, Vateitse Leah Likrosoi, that Yaakov was coming home from work and Leah went out. Yotzes, she went out Mekushetes Kezoina, she was dressed up like a prostitute. Lefikach Vateitse Dina Bas Leah. And that's why Leah, Dina, the daughter of Leah, now goes out all dressed up, and Shechem sees her, and this is a marvelous medrash. The question, I mean, there's a few questions. But just the picture that you get of the court politics there, and the and people's temper, and your people making it worse, and you got some rabbis that are really in your face, and then you got Rish Lakish trying to make peace there, and this rabbi making it worse. And in the end, though, this rabbi refused to back down, you know, and then he brings something. Who ever heard of such a thing? Leah, she's borrowed or she's hired Yaakov for the night. Rachel asks her for those mandrakes or for the jasmine, whatever the doidoyim were, and Leah says to her, you've taken my husband, now you also want to take my mandrakes. And Rachel says, so Yaakov will spend the night with you. Leah goes out when Yaakov is coming home, and she says, I have hired you for the night, and therefore you're coming home with me. And Yaakov didn't want to. He wanted to go home to Rachel, right? But this is where she goes out dressed kazoina. She goes out dressed like a prostitute. What does that mean? Where did Leah have clothing that made her look like a prostitute? What's the pshat? So the meaning is that Yaakov finds himself in a situation where he can't say no. And this is why it says, Vayishkav ima balailahu. The three times in the Torah it says balailahu. Instead of saying that night, balailahahu, it says balailahu. That night him. And we find the first time it says balailavatishkena saviyam balailahu, by the daughters of Lot, when they're alone with their father in this cave and they think the whole world has been destroyed, they gave their father, they made their father drunk, right? So Rashi brings a message, where did they get wine from? So that wine had been waiting there in that cave since Sheshes Yimei Breshis, since the creation of the world. That wine had been waiting there, and that's why it says, Vatishkena esavien balayla, who, not that night, but him, God, was the one who made Lot drunk that night, because Ruth had to be born. Because when we're talking about the seeds of Mashiach, nobody can know what's going on. And so God was involved in that incestuous relationship and providing the means whereby Lot becomes drunk and is no longer in control. The second time we find Balailahu is with Leah that night. Vayishkav ima balailahu. Yaakov slept with Leah that night, and then that night he became her true zivuk. He became a soulmate with Leah on that night, and the soul that they came into the world was the soul of Yisachar. And Yisachar is the one who yodea bina le'itim. He's the one who knows how to manipulate time. And the Chanukah comes to us through the Sanhedrin, who were the Bnei Yisachar, and Rabbi Akiva had the neshama of Yisachar. So Yisachar Chamor Gorim, I wrote about it in the third chapter of Sefer Yetzirah. One more time it says Balailahu, and that is this week in the Sedra. It says like this. First of all, when he sent the messages, they came back and they said to him, the messengers said to him, your brother's coming towards you with 400 people. So the Torah tells us, Vayiro Yaakov Moed Vayetzalai. He was very afraid, and he divided his family into two camps. And he said, if Esav comes, makes war, then this one he'll go, the other one will escape. And he davens, and Vayolen Shom Balailohahu. And it says, and he slept there that night. Then Vayikach Min Abo Beyode, he gets up in the middle of the night, and he starts to divide, and he makes this mincha, this gift for Esav. And it says, how much he gave, you know, how many asses, how many camels, how many goats, how many sheep, and so forth. Patavir amincha ponov, and this gift, he sent it on its way. Vuhu lon, and again it says, and he's sleeping there that night in the machane. And then again it says, vayokam balaylo hu, and he gets up that night. It doesn't say balaylo hahu. So this is the third time in the Torah where it says balaylo. So obviously something is going on here that is outside the realm of what is known. Just as thereby Lot and his daughters, the soul of Ruth is being brought down into the world. Nobody can know what's going on. Everybody has to be drunk and completely out of the picture. When Yaakov brings down the soul of Yisochar and Rabbi Akiva into this world, he can't know what's going on, and Leah has to be dressed like a zoyna, and things are happening that he has no idea. And this is really the moment that we were learning V'ruach alikim erachefes al pnei amayim, the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. And this is the Ruach of Mashiach. Before God says, let there be light, this is the Leah is davening to change the past. And this moment when Yisachar's soul comes into the world, then Leah becomes the master of changing the past. And that night she becomes the Zivug, the true Zivug of Yaakov Avinu, and she lies next to Yaakov in the Moras HaMachpelah and so forth. And it all has to be without Yaakov knowing. Here, on this night of Yom Kippur, where Yaakov gets up, why did he go to sleep? Why did he go to sleep again? And why did he go to sleep Nachamol and Nachamol? It says Vayolen, because he was hoping, I think we talked about this last year, he was hoping that he would have a dream like he had on his way to Choron when he was terrified of his brother. He was running away from his brother. He went to sleep. And he has this dream, and there's a ladder, and God standing over to him saying, Ushmarticha, I'm going to guard you wherever you go, and I'm not going to abandon you until I've done everything that I've promised. And so Yaakov goes to sleep thinking, hoping that he's going to have some kind of a revelation, and he doesn't. He doesn't have any revelation. Instead, he wakes up in terror. Of course, the Medrash has signaled to us why that is, because he chaperoned with Esav. There, when he was running away, it wasn't his fault. He was onus. But here, he brought the whole thing down upon himself. And now, he's terrified. Esav is coming. And he split the camp, and he sent this mincha, this gift, and he's still terrified. And he doesn't know why he's terrified. And he gets up in the night, and he takes the shivchos, the wives, the children, and he crosses them over onto the other side of the creek, the Yabuk. And then, Vayivosi Yaakov Levado, all of a sudden he's left alone and a man is fighting with him. And this man, of course, we just said, this is like the fight with the Malach on Yom Kippur, the accuser. The accuser's, you know, like, who's really the worshipper, who's really doing God's jobs? You know, who's really doing what we need to do? The Malach or the human? And, you know, the Malach says, I'm really the reason for the creation of the world. And Yaakov says, no, I'm really the reason for the creation of the world. And this struggle about what's the meaning? Is the meaning good or is the meaning bad? Is the meaning, you know, perfection? Is the meaning the mistakes? Is the meaning the teshuva, the repentance a person does for doing wrong, or is the reason for the world the good that a person does and not the bad and so forth? And this argument goes up until Kisei HaKovod, right to the throne of glory. See, Yaakov only thinks that he's woken up. I mean, this is the message of Vayokam Balailohu. And he gets up, not that night, he gets up in the night, him. Because Yaakov thinks that he's awake. You know how sometimes you're having a nightmare, and then you wake up, right? and the nightmare doesn't stop, right? Because it was only in the dream that you awoke, but you haven't really woken up in real life, you know? I mean, those are the worst kind of nightmares, right? Where you dream that you woke up and then whatever it is chasing didn't go away, right? And the feeling of terror is there, and you think to yourself, oh yeah, I'm awake, and somebody's in the room with a dagger, right? And it's like, you know, where does it come from? Because it's not real awake. You're dreaming that you're awake. And this is what's happening here with Yaakov. And in fact, in a sense, what follows the whole Sedra is a kind of waking dream nightmare, you know, including the death of Rochel. And all the things that are happening. You know, Yaakov wins the fight with the angel, and he asks the angel, what's your name? And you know, in a sense, Yaakov asking the angel, what's your name, is Yaakov giving a reason for the angel to live. You know, had Yaakov vanquished the angel in such a way that gave the angel no hope, then it would have been the opposite of the So'il La'azazel. So in a sense, when Yaakov vanquishes the angel, he doesn't. He then gives it a reason to carry on living. And the angel thinks, oh, Yaakov likes me, he respects me. He thinks that I have something good inside me. And as we said, that's the meaning of the So'il La'azazel of Yom Kippur. And then Yaakov comes to Sukkos. You know, first, the story of Shechem, you know, the Gemara says that Shechem is one of the worst places in the world. You know, this is the place where Dina was raped. This is the place where Yosef was sold. This is the place where the Melucha split, when the children of Israel, after the death of Shlomo, the reign of Rechavam, they split, and most of them went with Yerovam. I mean, this was a tragedy of unbelievable proportions, for which we haven't even begun to recover. Ten tribes are missing. Most of the Jewish people are missing. Shechem is a place that it's hard to understand, even, you know, that there could be a place like this in the world that people don't avoid it like the plague. And Yaakov is here. And what happens? Vayichen. He likes it. Yes, again, it's like a bad dream, right? You know a place is dangerous, and you can hear all the bells, and you see the signs, you know, do not go to the castle, and you can't stop yourself going there, and not just, you can hear the siren music, you like it. So, I feel like we're running out of time. Just want to say, the Ari says, the Torah tells us, "V'hinei rochvas yodaim," that this place Shechem, it's open to trade. You know, when they come and they try and, you know, talk Yaakov into, you know, going along with this shidduch, and v'hinei oris rochvas yodaim, the land is open wide, and there's enough for everybody here, and they can settle here, and we'll marry them, and they'll marry us, and it'll be great, and so the Ari says, Rochvas Yodaim. Rochvas is the words Reb Chanina ben Tradin. Reb Chanina ben Tradin, he says that Shechem and Dina, when it's Galgil, they had a Gilgal in Reb Akiva, they had a Gilgal in Zimri and Cosby. According to the Ari, the next Gilgal is not Reb Akiva. According to the Ari, the next Gilgal is Reb Chanina ben Tradin. And Reb Chanina ben Tradin was one of the 10 Asura Harugi Malchus, slightly different from the way we learn it usually with Rabbi Akiva, but he sees a connection between, and if the Ari sees, it's okay, between Shechem and Dina, between Zimri and Cosby, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian. And the word Rochvas, Resh, Ches, based Tov, is the letters Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian. So, who is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian? The Gemara says that when you're giving tzedakah, you should give tzedakah, if you know, you shouldn't know who you're giving it to, and the person who's receiving it shouldn't know who he's getting it from. So the best way to do it is to put it in Arunikit Shil Tzedakah, put it in the bag, in the Tzedakah Pushka. And then the Gemara says, but only if the person who then takes care of the Tzedakah Pushka is Reb Chanina ben Tradin, because when he would give Tzedakah, really he made sure that the person who was getting it was the right person. You see, the Zohar Kodesh says that Bina, the light from Bina, only goes as far as Hoyd, only goes five steps. Because when you give tzedakah, even if you give tzedakah, you can only make sure that the money that you're going to give to tzedakah is kosher money. You didn't steal it and stuff like that. You can make sure that you are giving it with a whole heart, right? That you're not giving it because you feel obliged to, but really you want to give this tzedakah. And then you give the tzedakah you put it into the Tzedakah Pushka. So you don't know who's going to get it, and you don't know, the person who's going to get it doesn't know who it's coming from, right? But the fifth level of what the person who does gets that money is going to do with it, that you can't do. You can't, what can you know about that? I mean, you can daven that it comes to the right person. You can, you know, that you made sure the money was kosher money, you made sure it was going to with your heart, and you made sure you don't know who it's going to, and the person it goes to doesn't know who it comes from. But after that, what can you know? Once it's come to them, what they're going to do with the energy of the tzedakah that you're giving, you know, you can't even, what can you know? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian was a genius, and that when he gave tzedakah, it always came to the right person. And yet, when he was dying, because he was one of these 10 who were Asar Aruge Malchus, he was tortured to death, and somebody asked him, Yossi ben Kisman says, what did you do to deserve this? He said, well, you know, the tzedakah money, I mixed it up one time with Purim money. And so I deserve this. See, what's Purim money? Purim money is whoever puts out the hand you give. It's different from tzedakah money. Tzedakah money, you make sure you don't know. They don't know who's they're getting it from. You don't know who it's going to, and all these hidurim of tzedakah. Purim money, whoever puts out their hand, it doesn't matter whether they're worthy or not. It doesn't matter whether you have or not. If somebody puts out their hand to you on Purim, you give. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian, for him, tzedakah money and Purim money were the same thing, because when he looked at somebody, all he could see was the worthy person, and not even the person, all he could see was the need, not the person. And the person who received from Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian never knew who had given Rabbi Chanina the money, and when you looked into Rabbi Chanina's face when he was giving you tzedakah, he wasn't looking at you, he was looking past you to God. So like when you looked at Rabbi Chanina, all you could see was God giving you money. And when Rabbi Chanina looked at you and he was giving you money, all he could see was God, or the child of God. And that's why Purim money and tzedakah money was all mixed up, because he was beyond. And so the Gemara says, if you can give tzedakah and you can give it into the pushka that is being taken care of by Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian, that's the ultimate giving of tzedakah. And what it has to do here with Sukkos and Shechem and Yaakov Avinu, who's gone through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that you'd think that Shechem is the ultimate bad place, but it's not. Because Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian is the one who is in charge of Shechem. And even Shechem himself, this rapist, let's face it, Ashi'ino es Dina, he took Dina against her will. Nothing is what it seems. And Yaakov Avinu, after going through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he's willing to go out into the world and to live in Sukkos and to be out there in the world, because Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian is in charge of the tzedakah, meaning that even with your eyes open and you're looking at someone, you don't see them, you see through them to God. And they look at you and they think they're seeing you, but in fact, what they're seeing is God. And you're giving and you're giving and you're giving, and it's the ultimate giving. And it doesn't matter if you're giving tzedakah or it's Purim, you know. Chayv enish lebesume bepuri ad lo yoda, until there's, and until, you know, the das is gone. And just to trust, and even in Shechem, you know, I mean, this is the message, is that even in Shechem, where all these bad things happen, including the selling of Yosef, which, you know, is tied to the original darkness, the original evil in the world, and God's diminution of the moon and in the feminine and so forth. Reb Chanina ben Tradian and his idea of tzedakah, in which everything is just the purest giving of the light, and the, you know, the face of the person is not even there in the picture, because, you know, it's God giving and God receiving. This, it's here in Shechem also. It's also happening. Person has to have trust. And that's why when Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma asked him, you know, what's going on? Don't you think you're going to be able to escape from the Romans and stuff? And he says, you know, I have trust. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, Ahira, I'm asking you a question. You're answering me like with this nonsense answer. But that was Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian. He was at the level of just having trust. And if you have trust in the tzedakah you give and the tzedakah you receive, and you have trust in the world that you live in and the people that you meet, and you just continue to have trust, this is the Oyrish Shel Mashiach. This is the Balai Lahu. And you give an opportunity for God. And even if it means that you're only dreaming that you're awake, and really, you know, most of the time you're just operating on, well, as we all do, you know, on autopilot. Nevertheless, if we live our life with that trust in God, it's enough.